This is Art in Focus, brought to you by the McMullen Museum of Art at Boston College. I am Sasha Chulgin, class of 2024 and a McMullen student ambassador. I'd like to welcome you to listen to a special episode in a series on the exhibition Landscape of Memory, Seven Installations from the Bargeel Art Foundation, Sharjah, UAE. This episode will feature a conversation between assistant professors Renee Pastel and Kristen Peterson, who both teach in the Boston College Communications Department. In this episode, the two professors will discuss two pieces of their choosing.
Hello, my name is Kristen Peterson. I'm in the Communication Department at BC. This is my fifth year here. My research work generally centers on the intersection of religion with digital media. So I've done a lot of work that looks at particularly Muslim American expression in the US and how, you know, fighting misrepresentation through digital media. And then I've also looked at intersectional feminist activism taking place online among Muslim youth and as well as evangelical Christian youth. And the kind of classes I generally teach here relate to sort of that intersection of religion and media. So I teach two of our what we call writing intensive courses, which are more junior, senior level courses. And those are, one of them is more focused on the history of the relationship between media and religion in the US. And the other one is more looking at contemporary examples of digital media and various forms of religious or also kind of spiritual but not religious culture online. And then I also teach social media and I teach media ethics. And so those are the main things. And then kind of current research that I'm working on right now is kind of thinking about more about spiritual but not religious culture and how this is enacted in spaces like, you know, apps and social media, influencer spaces. And so that's kind of my main area right now. And then this project or this exhibit, I thought was really fit with some of my previous research, specifically thinking about representation of Arabs and Muslims in media and culture. And I was really struck by this exhibit because it's really kind of counteracting some of the dominant ways that Arabs in particular have been portrayed, and particularly how there's a connection with war and violence and oppression. And to see, you know, in this exhibit, to see the vibrancy of Arab culture, I think, displayed, but also the ways that these artists are kind of reckoning with this longer history and tradition of displacement and war and trauma and a kind of cultural, you know, displacement in these different ways. So that's really what struck me about this work and connections to some of my previous research.
Great. And I'm Renee Pastel. I'm an assistant professor of screen studies, also in the communication department. And I started in fall 2020 at Boston College. So it's been a weird time beginning. My research, broadly speaking, is interested in the impact of contemporary American screen cultures on cultural memory, especially in the blurring of fact and fiction. My book project currently examines representations of the first phase of the war on terror, more specifically, through the narrative figure of the journalist, the soldier, the veteran, the military family, which I argue lend a sense of continuing unified national identity, even as the political divides we see very clearly today are developing. I teach courses on film and media theory very broadly, overview survey courses, and memory and media, which is an elective in communication and which I'm teaching this semester, actually. So this exhibit has been kind of dovetailing really nicely with a lot of what we're discussing in terms of different types of memory and the way that art can be used to explore and the ways in which memory and film, memory and photographs are interchangeable in some ways and not in others. So it's actually an extra credit opportunity for my students to visit the exhibit and do a brief write-up connecting to some of these theories and ideas in the course. And it was really a pleasure walking through, because you have also just in the layout of the exhibit, the kind of rooms of different types of memories. And one of the things we've talked about, especially at the end of the semester in my course on media and memory, has been thinking about how big a nation actually is. And so the fact that this is a representation of United Arab Emirates, but also individual countries and how those memories interact has been really fascinating to think about, and to think about the difference and how memories are transmitted across national boundaries how students can go and visit and get something from this exhibit without necessarily knowing very much about the countries that each of these artists are coming from or representing or interacting.
Very cool. We were both talking about how we were struck by the piece that is at the end of the main floor where you kind of walk in and it's in the biggest space, right? And there's a poem and a statement on the left-hand side, but the main part of it is on the right-hand side, a projection, primarily a projection. Do you want to go through, Renee, some of the things that you remember in the projection?
Sure. So the title of the piece is The House My Father Built, and it's by Sadiq Quaish Alfraji. Apologies if I'm not pronouncing his name correctly. And it's from 2010. It's a video installation with mixed media. And it was interesting watching this 6-minute piece, a little bit longer, watching the simplicity of how it begins with this looming figure that's bent, looking down into this small, kind of simple house space that is just four walls, four lines representing the house with the father's prayer shawl and a photograph of the mother and the father on the wall. And from there, the space fills with all of these memories and the kind of juxtaposed small figures that fall, and the large looming figure, you know, leans down in order to enter the space. And there are shadows of these figures and of different memories, of photographs, of people filling the space, and the movement away from the space. And it is a really rich piece, I think, even before you read the explanation or the poem that accompanies it. And I watched it once through before actually reading the poem that accompanied it. And it ends with the entire space being filled over with vines and flowers and blacking out and being this night sky that fills with stars and then fades, and it's back to the beginning and it works as a video loop. And then the accompanying poem adds to this, thinking about the traces that we leave behind. So the artist left Baghdad, Iraq, and didn't return until his father's death. And so his return, what is left are these simple traces of his father. And what he focuses on are the clothes hanging in the corner, his kufiya head cover, agal headband, praying beads, and traditional clothing. And in the poem explanation, the artist writes about how these are all remnants of identity. Is this all that's left of my father? This is then what is left of my father. And this idea of memories and the kind of overlay of all these different moments in the artist's life, in his parents' life, that fill this house, that made this house a home, that made it the family space, and how weird it is to return.
Well, I was struck, you know, especially studying religion and looking about the materiality of religion, I was struck by the fact that he mentioned the prayer beads and the prayer, you know, the religious attire. And I think, you know, that's very significant to a lot of people when you think about memories of loved ones. And when you go, you know, to clean out somebody's home, there's usually some sort of, you know, especially older loved ones, if they were religious, or some sort of religious pieces that are there. And I thought that was very striking. And again, to kind of go on what I was saying before, like really working against kind of a stereotype of Islam as sort of this irrational religion, but to see it as a lived, experienced religion, I think is really notable. I think too, just the fact there's no colors, it's all black and white, right? Like there's this kind of, and also very silhouette in terms of the style. And I think also I've looked at some of his other work. He does a lot with like script and calligraphy and other types of black and white forms as well. But yeah, I think you say it really well, explain it really well. I thought that the fact that you have this figure that is so large, but also is kind of bent over, it's kind of looking over things, but also not in an intimidating way. Yeah, what did you make of that, the figure? Did you have any sense of what was going on with that?
I mean, I liked that the figure remained static kind of throughout the whole thing, but there are overlays of the figure that move. So the figure shrinks and kind of slides behind the head cover and the traditional clothing. The figure gets tethered to the house. There's that kind of leash that leads between. That's that kind of connection and that pull to a childhood home that you've already left. The head swells and overtakes kind of the whole image, and tears fall from the eyes. It's very expressive, even though it's just mm-hmm. a silhouette, as you said. So, and in the poem explanation, the artist says, imagine that your body is stretched up, getting taller and higher. You slightly bend to see what's below you. You'll see yourself among the crowd, anxiously moving within masses of people, things, memories, and emotions. And that connection of being outside, but also inside of mm-hmm. the transposition of yourself, it seemed very universal in experience. There's such mm-hmm. specificity to a lot of these exhibits in this one. But at the same time, that kind of appeal to anyone who has lost a parent, to anyone who's experienced that kind of emotional loss, and that experience of returning home for the first time, that weirdness of being outside of it and simultaneously seeing yourself in all these previous versions.
Yeah, exactly. I felt like overall in the exhibit, there's a great deal about this like nostalgia or sort of a longing or a sense of feeling like you're forced. I mean, literally people being forced from their homelands and yeah. and so a feeling of loss, and also in some sense, I think a feeling of guilt in some ways of like feeling like you've abandoned. I definitely have come across this in other, you know, writings, and especially scholars who write a lot about, you know, feeling like they've sort of abandoned and left their homeland and come to the West. And I feel like that was a common theme in a lot of the pieces.
And that actually, thinking about it, it was striking to me how many of the artists no longer live in the country that they're tied to, and mm-hmm. thinking about this kind of diasporic memory that is happening mm-hmm. where you have that dual sense of identity and the tie to a home space that is no longer a home space fully, that is so much about memory and gives such a sense of specificity that can alienate from shared memory and have you share in memories that don't feel fully your own. Mm-hmm. And that's something that there's been some theorization of, this kind of diasporic memory and displaced memory. And I think that kind of illuminates a lot of these as well.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the Arab culture is really focused on hospitality, and the home is a really sacred space for people, and family is really significant. And I think you get that in a lot of these pieces as well.
I also like the kind of storytelling aspect that is brought into the house my father built in particular, but in many of them in different ways. Mm-hmm. In the house my father built, this kind of connection to fairy tales and the framing of once upon a time as being how we understand ourselves in the past, and mm-hmm. the idea of stories and art as being the memories that we hold. It's how we tell the stories, it's how we share stories, and it feels as distant sometimes, mm-hmm. even when it's very much a part of you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, a lot of the other pieces, there is this idea of like this forced breaking apart of families, breaking apart of cultures and communities and countries. You know, just to kind of go through a few of the other pieces I think that are striking. I mean, one is the piece that's on the third floor that has the cow trying to cross this bridge. I think that was also in Iraq as well. And it's kind of about this sort of, there's this cow, it's this video that was created, kind of an animation where a cow is trying to get to the edge of this bridge and then trying to cross the bridge to reach the family, their other cows. And it's kind of meant to be this idea about how the war sort of separated and teared apart families and this displacement that happens. And it was built on his memory, the artist, Adel Abedin, the memory he had of seeing a cow that had died at the edge of this bridge that had blown up. And so that, I think that's another kind of representation of that. I mean, some of the other pieces really deal directly with war. The one piece I don't remember the name, but the one piece that has the images, recreations of these photographs of war in Lebanon. So you have a lot of this imagery.
I think it's also an interesting kind of exhibit in the spatialization of it, and how we begin and how we end up at mm-hmm. on the single floor. We start with All About Acapulco, mm-hmm. which we can talk about a little bit if you want to mm-hmm. introduce that. And then we end with The House My Father Built, and that kind of sense of journey as you move through the space and dipping into different memories, different cultures, different national identities, the sense of being broken up, coming back together, I think it's a fascinating beginning as well, if we want to
go back to the beginning. Yeah, and let's talk about that piece. And the other thing too is just like the brightness of the first space versus the last space, because there aren't any windows or any light really in that last space where the house my father built is. But yeah, so the first piece that you come to was one that I found really intriguing, which is Marwa Arsanios. And this is called, as we said, All About Acapulco. And this was made in 2010. And it's based on a beach resort that used to be a very popular place in Lebanon, where a lot of, you know, celebrities and Western people and people in the Middle East would come. And it was this kind of beach resort. I think they kind of referred to it as the Acapulco in Lebanon. And yeah, it was this really beautiful place. And there is this kind of UFO-like building that my understanding is still exists there. Not a very big, significant building, but this kind of round shape chalet that exists on the beach there, and very notable sort of shape to it. And so in this exhibit, there's a few different parts to it, but she has the chalet hanging from the sky, hanging from the roof. And then below that is cacti. And then kind of around it, you have different things. So there's kind of a shelf with different photographs that are mostly sort of travelogue images that of people who were, you know, vacationing at this place. And there's also a projection of some video, home movie type videos of the beach. And then I think there's also some like newspaper clippings and things like that. And so that's the main thing. And so I think you definitely get this sense of nostalgia that I think is present in a lot of these pieces, a nostalgia for this period before, you know, colonization, before decolonization, and a great deal of war and suffering that happened because of that. And so you have this nostalgia for this period before that, where there was prosperity and there was spaces for people to, you know, vacation and relax and enjoy life, right? And also a period of, you know, cultural development, right? And, you know, things like films were being made in these places. And there's another piece that is kind of a cool media studies example where you have these film clips of the pyramids in Egypt. And it's just every time, you know, the pyramids appeared in a film, they have all these spliced together. I think it kind of relates to this too, right? We see kind of this nostalgia for this period before, right? So I was really struck by this for a few reasons. I mean, one, just like I was saying, I think with Arab culture, there's, if you think about media portrayals, you know, going back to, you know, well, this is in Persia, but I mean, in Iran, but you have the Islamic Revolution in 79. And then you sort of see in the media, pretty much every portrayal of Arabs and Muslims is related to terrorism, related to war. And even you see, you know, in news media, you know, the crying families of the victims of aggression and terror and various things, right? So this becomes the reality of what you see. And in some of these pieces, you see this idea of like there was this vibrant culture, right? That this is not all that Arab culture is.
And I think that first piece, the All About Acapulco, is really striking because it has, if I'm remembering correctly, some juxtaposition photographs of then and now.
Yeah,
and right. the space being an illegal space that the government won't pick up trash and has kind of abandoned, and that continues, and how much the space has become kind of decrepit and neglected, and the juxtaposition that it's not the way it's always been. It's that there was this vibrant community, there was a beach culture, there are people who have, you know, home movies and the memories tucked in the corner that's occupying the corner of the room, that's the corner of the mind, that's this memory that lingers, but that is not the present. And I think that's also really interesting in terms of the juxtaposition and expectations. As you were saying, contemporary media often neglects the past and these moments of rich culture, which is surprising.
So it's not part of the actual display, but there's a part to the side where it explains, you know, what this piece is about. And there's some images there that show what the beach looks like now, like you said. And it's become a space where refugees live. And there's a background on the fact that Lebanon has the highest The quote from The Sign says the highest percentage of refugees per capita and per square mile in the world, and that there's a great deal of poverty among these refugees. And like you said, there's no services in this place. It's just kind of become this like no-go zone where people are living. And my understanding too is actually people live in that chalet, that UFO-like chalet now is home to refugees. And it's interesting, actually, I just was searching on Google Maps to see if you could see what it's like. And there's the images for the chalet are like two old pictures of what it looked like and one contemporary picture. So it's really interesting to see like there's this kind of nostalgia. But yeah, I mean, I think in a lot of these pieces, there is kind of this paradox in a way where you have, as I said, sort of this dominant portrayal of Arabs as connected to war, connected to suffering. And then in these images, I mean, almost all of these pieces are related to that. You have to say that, like almost all of them have some connection to war, to colonization, to refugees, to some sense of poverty, right? And so that's part of it. But I think there's just more of a depth to this work. I mean, in some ways, it would be wonderful to see more of a variety of portrayals of things that aren't just the suffering, but to see the fact that people living in these contexts have a full life, have full culture, and have a vibrant life, despite the fact that there is this suffering and this poverty and these war and oppression that's going on as well, right?
I think that's part of what makes that first piece, the All About Acapulco, so striking is, as you noted, it's the most light. It has mm-hmm. the most vibrancy in mm-hmm. the display, and it has the juxtaposition and the acknowledgement of the present conditions, but it's about mm-hmm. this vibrant past. It begins the whole exhibit with this kind of invitation to a beach resort and the oddity of a beach resort that is UFO shaped and floating in design in the model, in the space suspended over the cacti, yeah. which feel precarious, right? It feels very solid, like it's going to last at right, least for right. the exhibit, but it's also that threat of the cacti below yeah. that you don't get the full understanding of until you've moved through the entire space.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's also a reference in the signage that says that cacti are the only thing that grow in this area because it's such yeah. Nothing can survive in that area. So I think there's also that idea of like what is able to survive and life still can come through. And even though, yes, we kind of think of cacti as I don't know what you want to say, not necessarily the softest, most beautiful, but they have flowers and they're living in that way. So I think there is maybe something to be said for that as well.
Especially paired with those home movies of the ocean and the beachside yeah. and the resort kind of feel, then the cactus becomes decorative instead of threatening. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the sign that says, actually, this is what can survive. And it's that clash of expectations of mm-hmm. the kind of invitation in the imagination of the resort, the decor, and then the reality. Mm-hmm. And I think mm-hmm. that's a big part of remembering and memory as well. Mm-hmm. I hadn't actually fully thought about how that is the only well-lit display. All of the other displays are very dark, right? Mm-hmm. And they have the projection and you're entering into these kinds of, there's something about the lighting that's needed for the projection, but also that gives it this sense of gravitas. And so you're invited in with this very bright space and thinking about the kind of desert conditions and sunlight. And then from there, every other space you enter into is very dark, and most of the subject matter is somewhat dark as well, except maybe for the pyramids that you mentioned before. But it's an interesting kind of progression to have the contrast of the very light and then all of these.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, part of it too is because almost all of the stuff is some sort of projection, almost yeah. all the pieces. Yeah. They all are. And then there's also the one with the bright green peg. So it needs to be lit in that way. But yeah, it is a good point that I didn't really realize at first. I feel like with the pyramids display, it seemed to be kind of trying to make this statement about the fact that when you think of Arab culture, you often think of the Egyptians and ancient Egypt and this kind of idea of like being ancient, right? Yeah. So that the things we do associate with Arab culture are either contemporary, as I've said, suffering and war and terrorism, or we think of ancient cultures, mm-hmm. right? We think of ancient Egypt, we think of Damascus and some of these places that were places of significant history, you know, Iraq being this place where civilization began, right? So I think that's interesting because one of the points they make, I've never seen the pyramids in real life, but that the city is right there, right? So that in a lot of these films, you see the pyramids and it's almost like it's this place set aside, but it's part of daily life. Yeah, exactly.
It really reminded me of, there's an American experimental film called Los Angeles Plays Itself.
Oh yeah, I've seen some of that, yeah.
Yeah. And so it has a similar idea about the importance of the place, of mm-hmm. these kind of markers of place that are shorthand and also hold significance beyond the humans. And mm-hmm. over time, as the landscape changes, the pyramids remain, right? This kind right. of iconography that links to the place, that all of these films have some gesture or just the pyramids in the background. And it gives you that immediate sense of place and the importance of place to memory, to this kind of shared filmic tradition, to no matter where you're from, you know where the pyramids are, hopefully.
Right? Yeah, right, exactly. What do you think about the piece that's like across from that where they were recreating these still images? What do you think is happening there in terms of memory? Like, so this is where they have these kind of famous photographs of the Lebanese War, and they're trying to recreating them with this kind of like looped film of like this person mm-hmm. falling. And I mean, what do you think is happening there in terms of memory?
I think one of the things that stood out to me there that kind of connects with a lot of these is the kind of bringing to life of memory. Right. So yeah. A photograph is a still image. That's not generally how we experience our lives. Having the video loop of people falling in slow motion, of moving in slow motion, that bring it to life while still honoring the stillness, that flash of capturing a moment in time, that I think is very much about how we experience memory, because we don't experience it as a single image, but we do experience it as that grab bag of particular moments. And you notice as it loops, with much shorter loops, different things each time that kind of draws together some of the things we've been talking about in
right,
the
right,
house
right,
my
right.
father built and all about Acapulco. That kind of
yeah,
ties.
And I think too, there's these images that become part of our memory because they're these historical significant images of, and so taking those significant images and bringing them into life in some ways, right, and bringing motion to them. And I think it calls to mind the fact that there's human beings and their stories behind each one of these images.
And the impact of the past on the present.
Mm-hmm.
One of the fun things about an exhibit like this, because I focus so much on photographs and mainly moving images and contemporary media, is thinking about the space of it and the spatialization of inhabiting a space and entering into these spaces. So the all about Acapulco, the surrounding yourself with these and moving around the UFO chalet and entering into each of these memory spaces and having them distinct but together, I think is a really nice way of thinking about pockets of memory as well that are not always offered in a single film.
Yeah, exactly. I think it is, yeah, because it is more experiential as you're kind of moving into these different spaces and being surrounded in some ways by the artwork, for sure. It's a really powerful exhibit.
That concludes this episode. While this exhibition is no longer on view at the McMullen, you can see it using our virtual walkthrough online. To access the virtual walkthrough, visit bc.edu/artmuseum/exhibitions. Thank you for listening, and be sure to visit The Terrace, the McMullen student publication, to find more episodes like this. This episode was produced by Rachel Brody, the McMullen graduate assistant and a doctoral candidate in the History Department. It was mixed and edited by Sasha Chulgen. Thanks to Rachel Chamberlain, the McMullen Manager of Education, for her guidance and support. Finally, thank you to our podcast team.